Our help is in the name of the Lord, who has made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and Jesus Christ our Lord, in communion with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Congregation, let us sing from Psalter 139, stanzas 1, 3, and 4. The mighty God, the Lord, has spoken unto all, from rising to the setting sun, the nations hear his call. 1, 3, and 4 of 139. Scripture reading for this afternoon hour can be found in the second chapter of the Epistle of Paul to the Romans, Romans chapter 2. But first, we will make a confession with the 12 articles of our Catholic, undoubted Christian faith. I believe in God the Father, Almighty, Maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost. I believe in Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Romans chapter 2. Therefore, thou art inexcusable, O man, whosoever thou art that judgest. For wherein thou judgest another, and thou condemnest thyself. For thou that judgest doest the same things. But we are sure that the judgment of God is according to truth against them which commit such things. And thinkest thou this, O man, and that judgest them which do such things, and doest the same, that thou shalt escape the judgment of God? Or despisest thou the riches of his goodness, and forbearance, and long-suffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance? But after thy hardness and impenitent heart treasurest up unto thyself wrath against the day of wrath and the revelation of the righteous judgment of God, who will render to every man according to his deeds. To them who, by patient continuance in well-doing, seek for glory and honor and immortality, eternal life. But unto them that are contentious, and do not obey the truth, but obey unrighteousness, indignation and wrath, tribulation and anguish, upon every soul of man that doeth evil, of the Jew first, and also of the Gentile. But glory, honor, and peace to every man that worketh good, to the Jew first, and also to the Gentile, for there is no respect of persons with God. For as many as have sinned without law and shall also perish without law, and as many as have sinned in the law shall be judged by the law. For not the hearers of the law are just before God, but the doers of the law shall be justified. For when the Gentiles, which have not the law, do by nature the things contained in the law, these, having not the law, are a law unto themselves, which show the work of the law written in their hearts, their conscience also bearing witness, and their thoughts the meanwhile accusing or else excusing one another. In the day when God shall judge the secrets of men, and by Jesus Christ, according to my gospel. Behold, thou art called a Jew, and restest in the law, and makest thy boast of God, and knowest his will, and approvest the things that are more excellent, being instructed out of the law, and art confident that thou thyself art a guide of the blind, a light of them which are in darkness, an instructor of the foolish, a teacher of babes, which hast the form of knowledge and of the truth in the law. Thou therefore, which teachest another, teachest thou not thyself? Thou that preachest a man should not steal, dost thou steal? Thou that sayest a man should not commit adultery, dost thou commit adultery? Thou that abhorrest idols, dost thou commit sacrilege? Thou that makest thy boast of the law, through breaking the law, dishonorest thou God? For the name of God is blasphemed among the Gentiles through you, as it is written, For circumcision verily profiteth if thou keep the law. But if thou be a breaker of the law, thy circumcision is made uncircumcision. Therefore, if the uncircumcision keep the righteousness of the law, shall not his uncircumcision be counted for circumcision? And shall not uncircumcision, which is by nature, if it fulfill the law, judge thee, who by the letter and circumcision dost transgress the law? For he is not a Jew, which is one outwardly, neither is that circumcision which is outward in the flesh, but he is a Jew, which is one inwardly, and circumcision is that of the heart, in the spirit and not in the letter, whose praise is not of men, but of God. And so far the reading of God's holy word. We hope to remember in prayer once again the sister of Mr. Henry Van Sluis, who is in surgery in these hours. Let us try to pray and ask for the blessing and help of the Lord. Lord of heaven and of earth, once again we are brought together in this afternoon hour round about thy holy word, and that testimony which is everlasting. We, each one of us, that are subject to time and to chance and to change, we have but a limited time here upon the earth. Remember her that does undergo surgery in these moments. Lord, be near unto her and guide the hands of the physicians in thy mercy, and could it please thee to bring her through. And wilt thou look upon also the need of her own soul, and draw her heart in mercy unto thyself. Thou alone who hast the hearts of all men in thy hands, wilt thou supply then in these hours, and wilt thou teach us all what frail creatures that we are, that in one moment that our life can come to an end, and then that we have to stand before the great judgment seat, and that by which we shall be judged, as we have read together, that is a law of God, that is that which never changes, that is that which has been written upon our hearts in our creation, and that must also, that is so darkened within us, lest thou dost reveal it again within us. Lord, thou hast given that law upon Mount Sinai, and thou hast given it again to us and to our children. But there are so many that do continue in this world without it, that do go day by day with only a darkened understanding. Oh, that thou may bring thy word unto the ends of the world, and cause that many may be brought into thy kingdom, and that our hearts may go out unto thee for the sake of those who are less advantaged than we are, that they may receive those privileges also, which may enable them to use the means for their eternal welfare. And wilt thou give that these means may never testify against us and our children? Oh, for we have read together that those who have that law, that they shall be judged by that law. And then it shall be first the Jew and then the Gentile. It will the judgment of God will begin at the house of the Lord. Lord, that thou may so bind then thy word upon the heart of each and every one of us, and that it may not ring in our ears to a never-ending eternity, as a worm that dieth not, and as a fire that is never to be quenched, but that we may learn to bow our knees before thee in a day of grace and in a time of salvation, and that we also may receive not only the blessings outwardly, but that our soul may receive that blessing, that may cleanse and wash us from all our iniquity, and that make us right with thee and thy law, that we may again be righteous in thy sight through the precious blood and righteousness of thy only begotten Son. Oh, then we shall be received by thee. Then we may be reconciled unto thee again. And then, O Lord, thy name will receive all the glory and all the honor as we have considered in this morning hour. Wilt thou look upon us, young and old, and give us to feel something of the fact that we are pilgrims and that we are travelers, and that we do not have our eternal home here below, that it is a serious matter to be carrying about within us a soul that will never die but is destined to a never-ending eternity, and that we shall all sleep, but we shall rise again from the dead. That it will be but a short time, that our body also shall be joined again unto our soul, and then with soul and body to stand before thee in that great judgment. Oh, bind this matter, Lord, upon our hearts, of which we have so little consideration by nature, and wilt thou cause our hearts to mourn for thee and to long for thee. Remember thy church, thy own Zion, in that warfare in which they are engaged day by day. Oh, teach their hands to war and their fingers to fight. Put away all slothfulness, but to make them watchful. And wilt thou give them to be ready, that they also, when that trumpet shall sound, and may be able to meet thee in peace and in righteousness. Wilt thou lead from step unto step in the knowledge of that free and that sovereign grace and in the mysteries of that faith and that thou hast planted in the heart of thy children. Do go with young and old together in all the needs and the cares of this life. Strengthen fathers and mothers in the families. Wilt thou supply for fathers to bring in the necessary food and drink and all that is needed for the households. Make faithful and diligent, and wilt thou prosper and bless the work of our hands. And wilt thou look upon mothers also, help them in bringing up and caring for their families. Give love, Lord. Oh, give self-denial to husbands and to wives together, that the consequences of our sin and all the disagreements which we may have by nature, oh, that thou would take it away amidst all the seriousness of our life, that we may deny ourselves, and that we may take up our cross, that we may follow thee, and that thou would make all things well. Lord, that thou may look upon children and youth, remember the school and all those that labor therein and therefore, bless the means for our children. Remember those that are instructed in their own homes, those that are instructed in public places and other institutions. Lord, may thou be on the right and on the left. Oh, take their young hearts and lead them by heart and hand. And wilt thou draw them to thyself in the days of their youth. Look upon all that rule and reign over us. And wilt thou supply wisdom, strength. And wilt thou give faithfulness to those that do judge. And the fear of thy holy name. Bring thy word to all the ends of this world. Increase the number of thy truly sent servants. Remember those that are in the prisons. Be with all that are afflicted in the mind and in the body, and cause that all that which we experience here below may be for the good welfare of our poor souls, that in the end of our life, and that it may be good to have been afflicted, and that we have learned thy statutes, and that thou hast become our all and in all. Help us. Remember our brother elder who labors elsewhere in this day. Help him also with the labors of his hands. And wilt thou be with us too. Help us to bring thy word once again, understandably to the minds of our hearers. Give the understanding also to the young people and to the children, but wilt thou bring it further into our hearts, and forgive our many sins for Jesus' sake. Amen. While your offering is being received, we'll sing from Psalter 221, stanzas 1, 2, and 3. Great Shepherd, who leadest thy people in love, mid cherubim dwelling shine thou from above. In might come and save us, and thy people restore, and we shall be saved when thy face shines once more. 1, 2, and 3 of Psalter 221, and the last collection today is for the Bethesda Care Home. Congregation, we ask your attention in this afternoon for the continuation of Lord's Day 4, questions 10 and 11. Lord's Day 4, questions 10 and 11. Question 10. Will God suffer such disobedience and rebellion to go unpunished? Answer, by no means. But he is terribly displeased with our original as well as actual sins, and will punish them in his just judgment, temporally and eternally, as he hath declared, cursed is every one that continueth not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. Question 11. Is not God then also merciful? Answer. God is indeed merciful, but also just. Therefore, his justice requires that sin which is committed against the most high majesty of God be also punished with extreme, that is, with everlasting punishment of body and soul. And so far, our Lord's Day. These questions consider the punishment of sin, which we wish to consider in three thoughts. First, the certainty of that punishment. Second, the justice of that punishment. And third, the severity of that punishment. The punishment of sin. First, the certainty of that punishment. Second, the justice of that punishment. And third, the severity of that punishment. Will God suffer such disobedience and rebellion to go unpunished? What do you think, children and young people? Do you think that sin can go unpunished? That is the desire of our natural heart, that we may be able, that we may be permitted to go on in sin, and that we will receive for our sin no punishment. That is the reason that man makes all of his attempts to deny the existence of God. What does he say? He says that this world was not created by God. This world and you and I, we have come into existence over a great amount of time. And we have no creator, and that is to man, the natural man, so important. Why? Because if we have a creator, then we also have to give an answer. If we have a creator, that means we are also accountable to that creator. And man, you and I, have altogether a conscience. And that conscience that tells us and that we have to give an account. We have read it together. The apostle says how that even the heathen, which have not the law, their thoughts are the meanwhile accusing them or else excusing them when they do what they know morally to be right or morally to be wrong. that is the conscience of every man. But man, by nature, attempts to push away those thoughts of his conscience and tries to comfort himself with other thoughts. The thought that perhaps it will be that I will be able to continue on in my sin and never receive punishment. That is a thought, parents, that we do establish also further and strengthen further in our children when we do not punish them for sin. And then that thought in them is further strengthened that they are allowed to sin and that they shall not receive the punishment. We can read in God's word that it is the cause that man is also minimizing the evil of sin, because sentence we read against an evil work is not executed speedily. Therefore, the heart of the sons of men is fully set in them to do evil. And so we have an Ananias and Sapphira, and they dare even to lie, we read, unto the Holy Ghost. But their lie and their sin did not go unpunished. Will God suffer such disobedience and rebellion to go unpunished? And what is the answer of our fathers? By no means. How do our instructors know that? And how can they speak about this with such certainty that they say, by no means? That is, in the first place, because it is written in the Word of God, but also because they may experience the same in their own heart. Because in regeneration, then the Word of God that becomes the object of faith, then we begin to believe that that Word of God is true, and that all the things that are prophesied therein are indeed coming to pass. And then there is written therein that I have to give an account, that I have to stand in the judgment before God. What do we read? We read how that the Lord, He is setting His law before His people in His strict requirements. And that that law, that is as a mirror. Do you ever look in the mirror, boys and girls? When you look in the mirror, and then you see yourself. And that law, that is as a mirror. The Apostle Paul, he says, the commandment came, thus that is the law, the commandment came, and sin revived. Thus, that when I look at that commandment, when that commandment came into my heart, then I began to see something. That is, I began to see myself. Oh, sin revived, he says, and I died. That is, that the entire life of a man becomes sin. Therefore, our instructors, they say, by no means, because something of this is then experienced in our life. That by no means will and can the Lord allow our sin to go unpunished. Because the Lord is holy. And He is not able, because of His holiness,
to dwell with sin. That the Lord is just, He is not able because of His justice to pass over sin. Oh, then we do not play with sin. No, we do not say, then we do not sin. No, then we continue because of the wretchedness of our heart. But sin then becomes a burden. Sin then becomes our grief. That is the beginning of the warfare and the beginning of the crying out unto God that the Lord would not lead us into temptation, but that He may deliver us from evil. By no means. But He is terribly displeased with our original as well as actual sins. Who is able really rightly to fathom the great displeasure of the Lord against sin? What is our opinion of the punishment that the Lord has brought upon the human race, upon Adam, and upon all his posterity, and for that sin that he has sinned, and when he has disobeyed the Lord and taken of the forbidden tree? Or who is able rightly to fathom the great displeasure of the Lord against sin? Is that then that we say that that punishment of the Lord is too harsh? Then we do not have that right impression of how displeased that the Lord is with sin. What is our opinion of the punishment of the Lord against Uzziah? When he has put forth his hand, when he has touched that ark of the Lord, what is our opinion of the punishment of the Lord against the sin of Korah, Dathan, and Abiram? When the Lord, for what they have done, has opened earth that they may fall down alive into that awful pit. What is our opinion of the punishment of the Lord upon Achan? When the Lord, He has commanded that Achan should be taken and he should be stoned to death. What is our opinion of the punishment of the Lord? When the apostle, he says to Simon the sorcerer, thy money perish with thee, because that thou hast thought, only for a thought, came out also in his words, but thy money perish with thee because thou hast thought that the gift of God could be purchased with money. Terribly displeased with our original as well as our actual sin. What must we say of Rome's distinction between venial sins and mortal sins? That they say that there is a difference. That some sin is mortal and that some sin that is not actually unto death, that is contrary to the word of God. Is every sin then the same? No, every sin is not the same. There are some sins that are greater and there are some sins that are lesser. There is a difference also in punishment, as we read, it will be in eternity. Because we read and that some will be beaten with many stripes, and some are going to be beaten with few stripes. Yes, there is a difference in sin, but there is no such thing as a sin that is not mortal. There is no such thing as a sin which is not worthy of death. No, the wages of sin is death. You say the apostle says there is a sin unto death and there is a sin not unto death. And that is true, but that does not mean that there is any sin that is in itself not mortal and worthy of death, but there are some sins that are forgivable, and there is also a sin which is unforgivable. There are also some sins that will be forgiven through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, and there are many sins that will never be forgiven. Terribly displeased with our original as well as actual sins. Thus, not only actual, but also original sin. That will also be punished amidst all those in the first world, amidst all those that were in Sodom and Gomorrah. There was also little babies, children, little infants, those that were just born, and those that had done still yet no actual sin. And yet with all the rest, they are taken and destroyed. Why? Because the Lord, He is terribly displeased, not only with actual sin, but also with original sin. We are born as children of wrath. That means that we are exposed, that we are liable to that eternal wrath of God. Terribly displeased. And they will be punished. Our fathers say, as He hath declared. God Himself declares, not us. No, we only declare what the Lord declares. And our fathers declare what the Lord has written. The Lord, God Himself, declares in His Word. That means that we are warned. No, not everyone in the world is warned. There are many that do not have that same privilege and do not have that same responsibility as we have, because they do not have the same warning as we have. But the Lord is now faithful, and that is not only to His promises, but it is also to His threatenings. Thus hath He said it, and shall He not do it? Hath He spoken, and shall He not make it good? What is that word? We read here, cursed. Cursed is everyone that continueth not in all things that are written in the book of the law to do them. Solomon says, the curse causeless shall not come. That means men can curse one another. What is that to curse someone? That is to ask the Lord to bring down His punishments upon someone else. But when it is without cause, then it shall not come. But when we read this in the Word of God, cursed is everyone that continueth not in all things that are written in the book of the law to do them. that is not the curse of a man, but that is the curse of God Himself. Thus, the curse of God that is lying upon every man that is not perfect is lying upon every man that is not holy as He is holy, that is, in thought, in word, in deed. Do we ever feel something of that curse? Do we ever feel that that curse is lying against us? That is, from the beginning of the Word of God unto the end of the Word of God, and that curse is lying against us? That is the way it is. That is the way it is when we are still walking in our state by nature. That is the reality of our case. Cursed. No, we are not going to go without punishment. Let us not deceive ourselves. No, the wages of sin is death. And all our civility and all our form of religion and all our being of benefit to one another, that is not able to cover and to make good for a single sin. No, cursed is everyone. Is then God not merciful? This we consider in our second thought, that punishment is just. Is not God then also merciful? That is now the question by which man attempts to evade the punishment for sin. There is no end to our devices. What man tries to do, to try to escape the guilt from falling upon himself and the sin, that he begins already in paradise to say, did not God lay then a snare for man when he placed before him that tree of knowledge of good and evil? Man will charge God with injustice. We heard something of that. Require of man that which he is not able to perform. Or he says, or thinks, God will only look through his fingers at sin. Or now he will even appeal to the mercy of the Lord, that the Lord would not punish my sin. Is not God also merciful? Then we ask, what about His Word? Is that not written in His Word that God is merciful? What about the truth of that Word? About what God has revealed concerning Himself? Is not God then also merciful? There is congregation an Arminian that is living in our heart, which attempts to place the mercy of God over against the justice of God, just as if these two things cannot dwell together and as if that they are incompatible with one another. That the Lord, He must descend from that throne of justice in order that He may ascend His throne of mercy. What do we hear in our land? And what does man teach his children? God is love. Jesus loves you. God is merciful. But you do not hear men speaking about the justice of the Lord. Thus man is resting in that mercy and resting in that love, but it is a false rest. And it is a rest that is going to be in the end shown to be standing on a false foundation. Is God then not also merciful? God is indeed merciful, congregation, the Word of God that is full of this. What a wonder that God is merciful, that He shows mercy to wretched and undone creatures. From the beginning of the Word of God to the end of the Word of God. And then we can read of the multitude of His mercies, that He is rich in mercies, that His mercies, they are very great. Oh, God is indeed merciful. Never would we want to take away anything of the greatness of the mercy of the Lord. If it was not for that mercy, there would be no hope for us. No, then we might as well also not come to the house of the Lord. God is indeed merciful, but also just. Thus, God has more attributes than one. And there is nothing that is incompatible between the attributes of God, as if they are not able to exist together, and that is also the mercy and the justice of God, then there is nothing that is incompatible between these two. On the contrary, they may dwell together in a perfect harmony. God is indeed merciful, but also just. Thus these two things, they do not violate one another. Where do we see that? We see that in Noah and the flood. God is indeed merciful, but also just. We see that with Lot and Sodom. God is indeed merciful, but also just. But those two, they do not even just dwell side by side. No. That He shows mercy to one, and that on the other He is righteously punishing them. No, there is even more. That very mercy of God that is shown, that is administered in the way of justice. Thus, the Lord does not save His church by renouncing any one of His attributes. That is impossible. But He glorifies His attributes in the salvation of His people. Also His justice. The Lord does not forgive the sin of His people by looking the other way. He cannot. The Lord forgives the sin of His church by punishing it. By punishing it. The Lord forgives the sin of His church by punishing their sin in another, in a substitute, so that that justice that is so completely satisfied What do we read? That God spared not his own Son, but delivered him up for us all. If he could have spared him, why would he not have spared him? Does the Lord delight in that punishment of his Son? Does the Father delight in the suffering and the death of him in whom he is so well pleased? Oh no, he could not spare him. He could not spare him and save that church at the same time. Why not? Because there was a payment due, and that payment had to come. That justice had to be satisfied. Oh, God is indeed merciful, but also just. Do we know this in our own life? Because if the Lord instructs us by His Spirit, then we will know that the Lord does not step over His justice. But the Lord is teaching His people, that He teaches them even as Joseph taught his brethren. That he taught his brethren, and we see so much labor in it and wisdom, but he brought them to that place to say, we are verily guilty concerning our brother. And therefore, this distress, this punishment, is come upon us. Thus, the Lord is instructing His people in the righteousness of that punishment, that they are a transgressor of that law, that they are worthy of punishment, that the Lord is not able to do otherwise than to punish. Because He is just. That the Lord even makes the people to agree that He has to punish them, that they even expect such a punishment. That they say, we indeed justly, we receive the due reward of our deeds. Oh, did the Lord ever show to you the justice of the punishment of the Lord? What is then the greatest wonder for such a person? When the Lord will open something, when the Lord will open something again, for the first time or by renewal of His only begotten Son. Oh, that they may see Him, that they may see His beauty, that they may see His preciousness. In what? The Lord showed that thief something of that Son. In one moment He saw more than God's children see sometimes in many years. What did He show him? He showed him that substitutionary work. This man had done nothing amiss, and yet he has to die. And yet he has to die. But he has done nothing amiss. And what does that mean? Then he saw something. That this punishment, these wages that this man receives, They are the wages of other men's sins. Other men's sins. He saw him as a substitute. Thus he may agree with that justice of God. But then it went for him further. Because then he may see that justice also in the death of the Son of God. And what may come out of that? A cry. A cry for what? A cry for what? You say a cry for mercy. And that is right. A cry for mercy that has come out of a sight of the justice of God in that only begotten Son. Lord, remember me. O congregation, what a ground, what a ground did that man have to pray and to base that cry for mercy upon. What a foundation. What an encouragement. What an encouragement to refuge-taking faith. Oh, mercy that is possible on account of the justice of God. Oh, then for the Lord to show mercy, that is to the honor of the triune God. To the honor of the triune God, and then the cry of that man that becomes ever stronger. Then the mouth of that people that is filled with arguments, that the Lord would glorify Himself, even in the salvation and the redemption of such a one as He is. Then they see how the Lord can answer. And then that cry that goes out. And then it is possible that He may hear the needy when they cry. And that He may save their soul when death draws nigh. And that He may deliver them from that punishment. Let us sing Psalter 363. Stanzas 2, 3, and 5. Lord, if Thou shouldst mark transgressions in Thy presence, who shall stand? But with Thee there is forgiveness, that Thy name may fear command. 2, 3, and 5 of Psalter 363. Thank you.
our third thought, the severity of the punishment of sin. God is indeed merciful, but also just. Therefore, His justice requires that sin which is committed against the most high majesty of God be also punished with extreme, that is, with everlasting punishment of body and soul. In the civil laws of the children of Israel, and then the Lord also said how that the children of Israel were to be punished. And what did He say of those laws? He said that the punishment always had to fit the crime. An eye for an eye, and a tooth for a tooth. And now what do we read in God's Word is the final punishment of the Lord upon sin. We read, as our fathers say here, it is an everlasting punishment, both of soul and of body. That is, congregation, indeed, as our fathers call it, extreme punishment. We would say it is a punishment that does not fit the crime. And yet it is not so. It is not so. Why? It is not so because of Him against whom we have sinned, committed against the most high majesty of God. Oh, we are so carnal. And it is so impossible for us to have a right impression of Him against whom we have sinned. It is the dread majesty of God, the eternal God, that majestic and that divine being, the creator of the heavens and the earth, and the creator of us, of you and of me, the one who has supreme authority over the entire world. When we sin, we strengthen our hand against the Almighty God. And He is of pure eyes than to behold evil. The Lord said to His own people, "Know therefore that it is a bitter thing that thou hast sinned against the Lord thy God." Did it ever become to us a bitter thing that we have sinned against God? So it becomes bitter in that new birth. Oh, when love to Him is born, when you love your father and mother, children, then it becomes bitter that you have sinned against them. And when that love to God is born, then it becomes bitter that I have sinned against Him. Then my heart breaks because I have sinned against a good-doing God and against His most high majesty. Therefore, His justice requires that sin which is committed against the most high majesty of God be also punished with extreme, that is, with everlasting punishment of body and soul. Yes, that punishment is severe. It is extreme. But congregation, the punishment that fits the crime. Oh, who can weigh in the just displeasure of the Lord and will punish them in His just judgment temporally and eternally? Temporal punishment, what is that?
Often it seems like the wicked are not punished in this world. Asaph looked about him and he was jealous actually of the wicked. Because he says they are not in trouble as other men are. And there are no bands even in their death. Their strength is firm. Then it seems like the judgments of the Lord, it did not come upon them. But then he saw their end when he went into the house of the Lord. And then he saw that judgment does not always come fully to man in this world. Solomon, he says, all things come alike unto all. There is one event both to the righteous and to the wicked. The righteous are chastised. That is for their good. If there is an affliction for the reprobate, it is the beginning of an eternal punishment. And not only so, but the Lord, He is smiting the wicked with special punishments. What is He smiting them with? He is smiting their soul with blindness. That they are permitted, young people, they are permitted to just go on and do, to live out all that is living within their heart. What do we read in the Word of God? That the Lord, He is sending them a strong delusion, that they should believe a lie. Do you know what the Lord is doing to the wicked? He is hardening their heart, even as Pharaoh, that they may work out their own destruction. That is already at the beginning of the punishment. Thus, it is such a mercy and a blessing of the Lord, young people, when the Lord may give to us a tender conscience, and that is speaking, and that we are not able to go along with the sin of our fellows. The Lord is leaving over to a reprobate mind, we read, to do the things that are not convenient. Will you join them? Will you join them? When the Lord leaves them over, then their conscience that is already speaking, maybe they are laughing. But do you know what it says in the Word of God? It says, there is no peace to the wicked. No peace. They are laughing, but their conscience is speaking. If it is yet speaking. And it is just the beginning of that gnawing of that eternal worm. Do they receive a blessing? Then that blessing is coming out of the left hand of the Lord. On the other side we have the people of the Lord. And have they trials? Have they afflictions? It is through much tribulation that they must enter into the kingdom of God. That is not necessarily even temporal, but it is spiritual afflictions, but very often also in this life. And then what may we read in the Word of God, what may we hear from the mouth of God's children, that sometimes they may receive such a rest under those afflictions and under those trials. Oh, by those rods that the Lord is instructing them, and that the Lord is bringing them sometimes back from a way of wandering, that sometimes that the Lord is even coming over in those afflictions to His people to visit them and to give them a token of His favor and of His communion. Oh, sometimes they may even be given to behold something of the sufferings of that blessed mediator. Oh, and then their own sufferings. Then it is And then it is, but a light affliction in which the Lord is placing upon them. Oh, then they may exalt the Lord for His goodness, for His grace, for His mercy, which becomes to them a wonder. Oh, is there not a great difference? A great difference between the sufferings of the wicked and the righteous in this world. When the flesh of the people will be laid in the grave, then all their suffering is come to an end. And then it will be for them an eternal rejoicing, for their soul immediately, but soon, very soon, then that body also will be raised in incorruption. And it will be joined again after that short sleep, and that they may enter into that eternal bliss, and that we may consider for just a moment in this morning hour. But the sufferings of the wicked, they only just begin. They only just begin. And when that body is laid in the grave, and they begin to be perfected. The sufferings perfected, how can they be expressed? Oh, read the Word of God. And then we can read that it is a place where that worm does not die. And that fire that is not quenched. It is a place, congregation, of an eternal separation. It is not separation from God altogether, because He is also in that awful place. But He is there in His wrath. He is there in His wrath. Oh, we read that when that wrath of God will be experienced, that man, he will try to hide from Him. And he would rather that the mountains, the great mountains, children, we may see them from time to time. And they have come down. You go there sometimes. And they have come down at that frank slide upon all the people. But when that wrath of God will be experienced by the people, then they are going to ask for that to happen. Rather that those great mountains would fall on them and the hills to cover them. Oh, that I would be annihilated, that I would be destroyed forever, that I would not have to bear in that eternal wrath of God. Oh, extreme, extreme. That is, with everlasting punishment of body and soul. Congregation, who can fathom it? Do you know what Daniel said to Nebuchadnezzar? And when the Lord showed to him what was coming, when the Lord showed to him the punishment that he was going to receive for those few years, then Daniel said to him, "Oh, will you not break off now with your sins? Will you not break off with your sins, that this punishment would not come upon you?" Or we can never say that we were not warned, although, yeah, we are not able to portray it to you rightly, because we are also carnal like you are. And we also are not able rightly to feel the great displeasure of God against our sin. But you and I have been warned. Congregation, the Lord alone is able to bind this matter upon our heart? Will we not ask Him for it? And when the Lord will do so, then it will not only be a fleeing. No, that people, they shall flee. But there will not only be a fleeing, but there will also be a drawing. Oh, what a great difference. If it may only be now. If it may only be now. If it may be only in a day and in a time of grace. What a difference. Because then, then the first tears for our sin, they shall be so sweet. So sweet, because it is so good. So good to return unto God. Oh, repentance, repentance, true repentance. That there is nothing so good in our whole life. That is now the first step to go back to Him. To be reconciled unto Him. And now that suffering, that punishment of that Son of God, that is sufficient for all the sin of the whole world. If we may but need Him, if we may but ask Him, then there is not a sinner that is too great. But if He remains forever without form and without comeliness to us, then our punishment that is indeed going to be extreme, it is going to be very, very great. O congregation, will we not turn? Will we not forsake our sin? Amen. Lord of heaven and of earth, what an awful thing that we are required to bring in this afternoon to warn for the punishment of sin. And Lord, Thou knowest that we cannot say it rightly, but Thou can bring it in our hearts. Oh, that this word may never testify against us, but that Thy dear Son may become necessary and precious. Forgive all that was short and sinful. In speaking and in hearing, bless Thy word. Instruct us therein. Go Thou with us in the week to come. Help us with our labors not only, but give us that burden that we cannot give ourselves, and that will be profitable for eternity. Remember us when we are separated also from one another. And remember us as we travel to another congregation to do the labors that are required in that place. And bring us safely to see one another again at Thy appointed time. Help those that will labor in the midst of the congregation. Give faithfulness to come up to Thy house. And give Thy blessing. Forgive our sins for Jesus' sake. Amen. 255 stanzas 3 and 4. To the Lord such might revealing, and let us come with reverence meet, and before our Maker kneeling, and let us worship at His feet. He is our own God and leads us, and we the people of His care. And with a shepherd's hand He feeds us as His flock in pastures fair. 3 and 4 of 255.
Receive the blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make His face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up His countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen. Blessings.